Let's open our Bibles up to Romans chapter 8. I sure appreciated that today. I appreciate you all bringing your expectation. It's nice for a minister to get up and just already feel everything. Like I said, where I don't feel like I'm going to need my notes too much today. Romans chapter 8. Let's go down to verse 19. Everybody there, say amen.
Amen.
Thank you. For the earnest expectation of the creature waiteth for the manifestation of the sons of God. Down to verse 22. For we know that the whole creation groaneth and travaileth in pain together until now. And not only they, but ourselves also. Can you put yourself in that scripture right now tonight?
Amen.
Ourselves also, which have the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves groan within ourselves, waiting for the adoption, to wit, the redemption of our bodies.
Amen.
For we are saved by hope, but hope that is seen is not hope. But for what a man seeth, why does he yet hope for? But if we hope for that we see not, then we do with patience wait for it.
Amen.
Likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities, for we know not what we should pray for as we ought. How many times you go into prayer and go, I don't know what to pray for? Well, that's what Paul said would happen, so get over it, I guess. But the Spirit itself maketh intercessions for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. And he that searcheth the hearts knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit, because he maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God. I'd like to preach there. We're going to continue the Romans 8 message. Groaning for manifestation. Groaning for manifestation. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we read your word, Lord, and I believe the atmosphere is set that you can come speak through the Spirit. We just pray you have your way. Commit this time into your hands. We love you. We appreciate you, Lord. Bring us where we ought to be, we pray. In Jesus Christ's name we ask you. Amen. You may be seated. Groaning for manifestation. Just to start off, I looked up the word groan. In any dictionary, you'll find something around this line. Groan means to make a deep, inarticulate sound in response to pain or despair. So to make a noise that you can't even fathom in words, you can't put words to it, it's just a pain or despair that's going on, and you groan within yourself. It talks about it many times in Jesus groaning in the Spirit because of his frustration with people's unbelief. I wonder how many times he's groaned looking at me in my unbelief when I should have had faith. But as we come back to this scripture, I want to emphasize what this groaning is all about. What are we groaning about? Because I see so many Christians, it's almost like they expect to be able to walk in perfect faith. And it's in the inside. You feel there's a man on the inside that believes that, that walks in a realm of perfect faith. But for some reason, there's always a groaning. There's always something where you're not completely satisfied. And I watch many Christians that they take that and go, well, I must not have anything with God yet, because if I had a real experience with God, I'd have a satisfying portion. And we get this inner struggle that starts happening. Just as Paul did, and we said in Romans 7, when he says, out of the inward man, I want to serve God. On the outside, I don't want to serve God. The inner man wants to do the things of God. The flesh wants to do the things of sin. Even though I've received the Holy Ghost, I'm still in this condition. And he says, who shall separate me from this body of flesh, this prison house that I live in? It shows that there was still a groaning even within Paul. That though he had a deliverance, though he was saved, though he was sealed to his day of his redemption, he wasn't completely satisfied yet. Verse 19 again. For the earnest expectation of the creature waiteth for the manifestation of the sons of God. So even creation itself has an expectation.
Yeah.
How much the sons of God that come into the house of God should have an expectation that if God said we're two or three were gathered together, he would be in the midst tonight.
Amen.
And we're not here to hear Brother Andrew tell us what his thoughts were. We're here to hear the Spirit of God speak to us through his word. And as the creation, it knows it's the condition it's supposed to be in, and it knows that this fallen condition is not right. Because it remembers. The tree remembers what it was like back in the Garden of Eden. Where it can put forth its fruits. The wind blew just right all the time.
Yeah.
The weather never got snowy. It didn't have to go hide in the ground. It didn't have to die. It didn't have to plant another tree to keep going on. Every tree just lived.
Yeah.
The animals remember what it was like. Their ancestors got those instincts way back then. Or they didn't have to go fight. They didn't have to do survival of the fittest. It was just love, peace, joy, where the lion could go out and eat grass just like the bull.
Yeah.
No pain, no suffering. The creation knows what it used to be like when sons of God could be manifested.
Wow.
But now we look, and sons of God are trapped. They're trapped in bodies of flesh to where we can't manifest like we need, like we want to.
Right.
We want to see God move in our lives 24/7, 365 days a year. But for some reason we struggle, we fight because we're wrestling in a battle. And it's you versus you. That's what makes it so frustrating. That's what makes it such a groaning experience. Is because you can't identify your enemy on the outside. He's within you.
Amen.
So you have to take him everywhere. But I'll tell you this, you can take him wherever you want to. You say, that old devil don't want to come to church, praise the Lord. You say, too bad, devil. Do that flesh. You come to the house of God, and you're going to say hallelujah, and you're going to say amen, praise the Lord. Even when it whips my back and shows me I'm backslidden here, there, or whatever, you're going to raise your hands up and say, praise be to God anyhow.
Yes,
go ahead, flesh, you can stick around. You can complain about it. You can tell me I'm tired, but I'm just going to throw you out in the sea of forgetfulness where the blood already washed that thought away, and I'm going to praise the Lord anyhow. Coming out of expectation, 1950. What are we groaning for? The creation's groaning for the manifestation of the sons of God. And Father, this is expectation 1950. That'll be a glorified body, free from sickness and sorrow and heartaches and death. Oh, our spirits groan for that deliverance. Help us tonight, Father, as we're journeying on now. Know that thou hast provided a way that the sick could be healed and the lost could be saved. And as we're gathered here as eternity-bound mortals, did you catch that? Eternity-bound mortals.
Amen.
Which means, yes, now you are immortal, but you're heading toward eternity. And mortality doesn't blend with eternity.
Yep.
Mortality becomes eternity.
Yes. Amen.
This mortal shall put on immortality.
Yes, that's right.
Praise be to God. Help us to set our affections on things above, where Christ sits at the right hand of God. Grant it, Father, and may the angel of God who's guided me through my life, fed me since I was born, be here tonight to heal the sick and afflicted. So though we groan for this manifestation, though we groan to be clothed upon in immortality, we have to recognize we have benefits now of that.
Right. Yes, sir.
Because the transformation's already begun.
Amen.
If you be born again now.
Amen.
Now, if you ain't received the Spirit of God, you ain't been born again yet, you ain't even the first base. You won't be able to find this source of power on the inside that you see other Christians seem to be able to just have this groaning and yet step over the top of it.
Amen.
And continue to overcome.
Hallelujah.
Revelation Book of Symbols, 1956. That's the reason we should be groaning in the Spirit. Now watch this. Listen closely. Now I don't mean a lot of put on, but I mean really in travail for the church. Then the Holy Spirit, then you can get some real speaking with tongues and interpretation. The Holy Spirit making utterance and tells through groans and prayer. Be real truth too. That'll be something right now that you'll see take place.
Amen.
So this groaning that we have in the Spirit is because we desire to be in a body that we came from.
Amen.
That theophany's already there, church. God don't got extra ones.
Right.
He's not one short either. If you've been born again, that means you have one over there. And that's the body that you desire to be clothed in.
Amen.
You desire this body to go grab that and bring it back on this.
Yes.
So you can live in that realm of perfect faith.
Amen.
Where the only thoughts you ever have is the Word.
Right.
You can live where Jesus did, where anything contrary didn't even faze him. He said, Satan, get thee behind me. I already discerned that thought. It didn't tempt him no more. He said, Satan, you're a liar. Get out.
Amen.
And we desire to be in that body. So as we walk on earth, I just want to bring to the children of God, don't expect to be completely comfortable down here. You say, yes, I've got a satisfying portion in Christ. I've been changed from death unto life, and that gives me peace. But there's still always a war going on. If you can settle on down here, it's the same as being a man who says he's not crazy and can settle in a trash can and say, I feel okay here. I can handle this. I enjoy being in this life.
Sure.
I had one time I worked with a girl, made me so sad to see the condition of this age, back in Ponderosa. She came up to me one day, knew I was a Christian, and she said, what's heaven going to be all about anyway? She said, it's so good here already. And I said, you poor, miserable wretch. Poor, wretched, blind, naked, and don't know it. Walking in the world thinking, this is such a great time. Oh, isn't it fun to go to parties and get drunk? Doesn't that feel great? Didn't we talk about that a few weeks ago? If you had a disease knocked you out, said you're not going to remember what happened last night, you're going to wake up with a pounding headache, you would find every doctor in the world to try to get healed. But people go spend their life savings to do it to themselves on purpose. That's a good life. That's not what the sons of God are groaning for. That's filth. The sons of God have the ability through the Spirit to look past that and see that demon spirit leading that person right off a cataract into hell. Oh yeah, adultery sounds good to the flesh, doesn't it? It says, yeah, go ahead, go look at that woman and lust after her. But the Spirit of God can come in and look it down past the road when your family falls apart because of that foolishness. For 10 minutes of pleasure, you ruin the rest of your life. And we watch ministers even fall into that nonsense. And not only does it ruin their lives, it ruins the people they tried to influence. Because it puts a stain on the ministry. God help us to never do such a thing.
Yes.
Groaning for manifestation. Taking my time tonight, if that's all right. Go to 2 Corinthians with me, please. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. And we'll head back to Romans here shortly. Now, as I get to this scripture, verse 1 to me is a scripture we quote many times, but we tend to stop a little early. So I'm going to continue reading to show you what Paul's really getting at here. 2 Corinthians 5:1. For we know that if our earthly house of this tabernacle were dissolved, we have a building of God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. And what does eternal mean? It never started, it'll never end.
Amen.
We have a body we are waiting for. Now look at verse 2. Excuse me. For in this we groan, earnestly desiring to be clothed upon with our house, which is from heaven. Do you feel that way when you think about that new body? We say, oh, there's many mansions over there, and there very well may be some houses, but that's not where I'm concerned with. I want to be in a body like unto His glorious body.
Yes. That's right.
Because then, like I said, I don't need that old house. I could just think, and I'll be over where I think it's comfortable now. I don't need to go find a recliner. I'll just think, and there'll be one manifest right there, and I can sit down in it, in that body. Jesus didn't have no temptations after He was glorified. He walked right into the wall and stood right there. They didn't know where He came from. And the second they realized who He was, He was gone. Because He's able to go between dimensions anytime He felt like. Oh, don't you want to be in a glorified body? For this we groan, earnestly desire to be clothed upon with our house, which is from heaven. If so be that being clothed, we shall not be found meek.
Yes, Lord.
Praise God. God don't see me no more. Right. He sees what He always saw before the foundation of the world. Right. And now it's reality.
Oh, yes.
Oh, if we could put ourselves over there by faith, all the troubles of life would fall away. Verse 4. For we know that there are in this For we that are in this tabernacle do groan, being burdened. Look, why do we get surprised that we're burdened in this house? This isn't where we're supposed to be.
Amen.
This is temporal. This body I live in is not supposed to be a permanent dwelling place.
Right, that's right.
It's just here so me to get some character. So God can prove that the seed He put in me will produce itself again, regardless of all odds. Do you realize what you get to wear when you get to heaven? You get the badge that says, conquered Laodicea.
Oh, yeah.
You understand? Moses is going to come and say, how did you overcome? I had it pretty bad in my day, but ain't nothing compared to what you went through, boy. I saw those legions of devils coming after you every day. I don't know how you stood the test. You go, it wasn't me. It was Christ living in me. You know when you saw Him walk on Calvary? Yeah, I was in there too, Moses.
Amen.
I've already overcome before we even get there.
Praise
be to God. For we that are in this tabernacle do groan, being burdened. Not for that we would be unclothed, but clothed upon that mortality might be swallowed up of life. See, when you feel sickness, that just shows I'm immortal. When you feel pain, it shows I'm immortal. When you have a headache, when you're depressed, when you ain't feeling good, it shows you're immortal. But that's not what the sons of God are seeking.
Uh-uh.
We're seeking immortality.
Yes.
Well, there's no such thing as sickness.
Right.
No such thing as pain and heartache and troubles. And Brother Bram said, it ain't just a little joy. It's all joy.
Amen.
All the time.
Amen.
Yes.
And we can't imagine it. It's beyond comprehension. Yeah, the Spirit might show us, give us a little bit of taste of that. But like Brother Branham said, you come all the way down here, it's the shadow of a shadow of a shadow of a shadow of what it's really like over there.
Amen.
And we can still have the joy of the Lord amidst Laodicea here. Wait till we cross over one day.
Amen.
Woo! You wonder why you groan for it. Because in the inside, that man knows how glorious it is to be out of this body. It knows what it's like to be in a glorified place. It knows what it's like to be with brothers and sisters. And you can just go up and give him a big old hug. Never the spirit of jealousy. Never hate. No fear of anything. You can speak your mind because it's the mind of Christ and it's always the word.
Yes.
Think if we could live 5 minutes in that realm. Why would we want to come back to this pest house?
Exactly.
Why do you think Brother Branham said, "Oh Lord, don't let me go back"? He crossed over, got to see what it was like. And that wasn't even the millennium yet. They're just waiting. And he said, that was so. He said, sublime doesn't even touch it yet. There's no words. It's those utterances that you can't speak them. Because it's so glorious, there's nothing in the human's language to grasp it. Verse 5. Now he that hath wrought us for the selfsame thing is God, who also has given us unto us the earnest of the Spirit. And that's why we thank God. When you've been converted, these things aren't foreign to you. They're not surprising because you've already got the down payment.
Amen.
You already have something to say, I know what it's going to be like over there. You know, the Bible says that, you know, no man has thought, neither has entered the heart of man what God has in store for those that love him. The next verse says, but his Spirit hath revealed them unto us. Showing that that little bit that the Spirit shows us now is just a taste of what it's going to be like when we cross over. Why do we groan looking for that manifestation of the sons of God? Manifestation of the Spirit 51. And as our hearts ponder over this subject tonight, thinking that one day we were aliens cut off from God without mercy, without God, without Christ, aliens in the world, alienated from God and from righteousness, but in due time, when we had nothing to do with it.
Amen.
Christ, in his love, died the innocent for the guilty, bringing us now to a full knowledge in the statutes of the sons of God. It does not yet appear what we shall be, but we know we'll see him.
Amen.
For we'll have a body like unto his glorious body. We'll see him as he is, free from sickness, free from sin, free from death. Oh, how we groan in the Spirit to be clothed with them immortal bodies. And that's a good test for me, is if you got the Spirit of God or not. Do you desire to get out of here?
Amen.
Or are you complacent? Is this comfortable to you? Like I said, it's like a man that can jump in a trash can and go, this is pretty nice, I can settle in here. I use a couple cardboard boxes, make myself a bed, and just stay at home. That's what happens when you get comfortable down here. And you tell me you're a son of God, you're nuts. You're crazy. Because the sons of God go, no, I am an ambassador. Which means I'm not from here. I'm from somewhere else.
Amen.
I'm just making a pilgrimage through here. And if you could ever see the spectrum of eternity, that big wheel that never ends, and Brother Branham said time was just a little blotch that got taken out one day. And you can see the line that you're just going to go, you came from eternity, you're going to walk this little line, and you're going to jump right back on and just keep on going.
Wow.
Think of that one day. You never were out of the picture in the first place. Like we just read, you didn't have nothing to do with this. You said, well, I accepted it. How'd you accept it? By faith? Where'd you get your faith from? The Bible says it's a gift of God.
Yes.
What should that tell us? How much joy should that give you down on the inside? To say, I know I'm a son of God.
Amen.
Why do you think it was so glorious for the apostles to say that we are sons of God? Why do they think this is such a high honor? Because it puts you in a place that, again, we just have such a hard time getting the comprehension of it. What it means to be a son or daughter of God. Full dominion over anything.
That's right. Amen.
Anything your heart desires. 1 John 3:2. Beloved, now are we the sons of God. Now look, so there's what you need to know. You have to have a revelation first that I am a son of God, or you're never going to get anywhere with God. How can you ask for God if you don't have a relationship with him?
Right.
If he's still some almighty Lord that's so far over here, and you're a little peon, tell me a little slave that's going to ask anything of a king. He won't do it. He's scared. But if you realize that that king came down and became a slave like you and said, come here, son, you're going to come up here and stay with me. It makes it easy to talk to him.
Amen.
Yes, he's the Lord of heaven, but I got a closer relationship than that.
What?
The Bible says, and it's used as a different name. I wish it's like Ishi or something like that, but it says, if you translate it, it says, in that day, they won't call me no more Lord, they'll call me husband.
Yes.
What day was that? This day.
Amen.
Because as we get closer, we get more taste. We get more bites of what that manifestation of a Son of God really means.
Amen.
You know, to walk in justification feels pretty good. As the Lutherans had it, it was a little taste of what heaven's like. To not have to go buy for your sins, that felt a lot better to us. We're like, well, that's foolishness. Imagine if you thought that's how you got saved. And then somebody came around and said, you don't need to do this. Just believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. What do you think that did for that person? It lifted that old burden off and gave that little taste of immortality.
Amen.
And they could walk in that with some joy. And then sanctification came and you got to watch. There ain't going to be no hatred. There ain't going to be no smoking. There ain't going to be no cussing in heaven. That's all going to leave. And you start walking in that, you go, oh, this feels a little more like heaven all the time.
Uh-huh.
And most people in the message stop there anymore, don't we? That's all we get. We don't get to the power of God no more to know that the spoken words are stored.
Amen.
The gifts of the Spirit are here.
Oh my.
For us to enjoy.
Amen.
Not to be burdens, to enjoy.
Amen.
Because any son of God hates sin. In his heart, even if he falls into it, even if he makes mistakes, there's something on the inside that says, I hate this.
Yes.
Hate when I do this. And that's why we want the gifts of the Spirit, because what are they here to do? Clean out the church.
Yes.
Keep the wickedness from coming in.
Yeah.
Or David even said, Lord, forgive me my presumptuous sins. Even the things I don't even know about, forgive me, Lord.
Yes.
Can a man of God walk like that, do something wrong and not know about it? I assume David's with that prayer, yes, sir. But thanks be to God that He's given us His Spirit.
Amen.
That we don't have to walk by ourselves. You don't got to figure out how to be a son of God.
Right.
Let the Son of God come into you and He'll push out a son of God.
Amen.
He'll reproduce Himself. Now we are the sons of God. 1 John 3:2, I'm going to continue to read. And it doth not yet appear what we shall be. So again, when you look in the mirror, why are we so shocked that we're not walking like we want to be? The Bible says right here, it does not appear like what we're going to be. That ain't the real you. That's a devil that you're staring at.
Yep.
But, oh, don't you love that word in the Scripture? I love the word, but.
Come on.
Paul, you're dooming and glooming us again. John, what are you doing? But they put the word but. Said, that ain't the whole story. But we know that. I wish we could get that in the message people's head. We know. That.
Amen.
Not maybe.
Right.
We know.
I know.
I don't think about it. I don't just read good quotes. I know this is the truth.
Amen.
Amen.
We know that when He shall appear, we shall be like Him. What are we fretting about? What are we walking around going, oh Lord, I don't know how I'm going to do this. You ain't going to do it. He's already done it.
Right?
Amen.
What's He waiting on? Our faith to reach that promise and pull it down from heaven. That's the only thing you get it down. You can't get the promises of God down with good works. Or with bad works. You can't keep them away.
Right.
All right? What keeps the battle is always unbelief versus faith.
Yep.
Always. It never changes. And if Satan can get you off that and think that the battle's somewhere else, you're defeated because you don't know your enemy anymore.
Right.
You think, oh, the reason I didn't get the joy of the Lord tonight is because of Brother Thomas. He should have praised the Lord more. It's his fault. See how Satan can twist it and make him the enemy now. Don't look at me like that. You know what's happened. Maybe not Brother Thomas, but. But if Satan will get you on anything, just blaming this or blaming that. The only thing you need to blame is unbelief.
Right.
The only thing you need to do is get rid of it and believe.
Right.
And you watch it take place.
Yes.
Let's go back to Romans for a second here. I'm just going to follow the Spirit. Is that all right?
Yes.
Back to Romans 8 again. So the manifestation of the sons of God. We thank God that we know, especially by the message of the hour, that when we're converted, when we've received the Holy Ghost, that begins the manifestation of our son as being a son of God. It proves to us that we are the sons of God. But that's not what Paul's talking about here. We talked about that adoption back in verse 15. He said we've received the spirit of adoption. But as we come down here to verse 23, talking about the creation again, as it says, the creation again. Not only they, but ourselves also, which have the first fruits of the Spirit. Even we ourselves groan within ourselves, waiting for the adoption. So though we receive the spirit of adoption, though we've been changed from the inside and are able to walk as sons of God again, That's not the full manifestation of a son of God. A full son of God is in a glorified body. Yeah. He's in a body that can't be tempted by sin. Because he can't even hear it anymore. He's living in a realm where it doesn't exist. How can you hear from things that don't exist unless you're crazy? Aren't you glad? There won't be no devil in heaven. And to think how powerful this glorified body even is. Even if there is sin, it doesn't faze you. And again, watch Jesus walk around in a glorified body. Tell me one time Satan even tried to tempt him when he was in that glorified body. Never did it. Never even came by because he knew he was whipped. What do you think the millennium would be like? We know Brother Branham said sin will travel over. It's the type of the millennium. Uh-huh. There'll be sin there. Now, I don't want to get in all that millennium stuff. People get all... So I'm just going to leave it like that. But he did say that. There'll be sin in the millennium. But look, the sons of God were in glorified bodies at that time. We're not going to be affected by it.
Right, amen.
It won't stir us. We won't have to fight no temptation no more. We won't get angry. We won't get upset about it. We'll just speak the word and move on. Like we should be right now.
Amen.
Lord, help us. So we're waiting. We are adopted, waiting to be adopted. Oh my, can you put yourself in that? And even as you were, when you grow in the Lord, see, we need to allow the Spirit to do this to us. Yeah, you're born again. Praise God. But you're a little baby usually. You get all your emotions. You get all worked up and do this and that. Let's just let the Spirit grow us a little bit. Let's watch that seed. Yeah, you put out, like Brother Bram said with Luther, it didn't quite look like what went in the ground. When Wesley came up, didn't quite get closer, didn't quite look like it. Let the Lord keep doing that in your life until it comes back up to the top. And you go, you'll stand back. At least I do. I stand back and go, that's me? I just did that? And you're like, well, not really, but yes. As Paul said, it's me, but it's not me.
Right.
Well, Abraham said the same thing. He said, they asked him, he said, would that make you Jesus of some kind? He said, well, one way, it's exactly the truth. He said, another way, you make me the Antichrist.
Yeah.
And that's that fine line between right and wrong. Amen. And look, you have to get all the way into the truth. One inch short, you won't make it. Do you understand? You could run a race. Let's say I do track. 400 is one lap. Let's say you run, and you're just giving it all you got. 399 meters. And then you go, that's pretty good. Walk away the other way. Guess what? You lost.
Uh-huh.
And you can take old Joe Schmo Turtle, you know, that person that just comes to church, just keeps on struggling, just fighting. Don't never give up, though. Just keep on trying. You know, you get those people who are sprinters, right? They get going, and then, like I said, they usually run out of steam, and before you know it, they're back. They go from this road to this one, to this one, to this one. Then they're out the door, and they're back in the world again. But you watch that. Everybody wants to be Superman. Why don't you be Joe Everyday Guy? Steady Eddie, that's what his name is. I knew he was in there somewhere. And that's what God wants us. He wants consistency. He wants you to love him every day.
Amen.
Not love him a whole lot one day and then don't talk to him for weeks.
All right.
That's what Superman does, right? He's just Joe Schmo Nobody until there's a crisis. Yep. Superman.
Yeah.
Jesus was a 24/7 source of everlasting life.
Amen.
Whenever there was a need, he could be there. And how much more in the Spirit of God that he isn't limited to one body in Christ, but he has a many-member body, which has the same potentials as he does, because his blood washed us so clean, we have his righteousness.
Yes.
We can walk in the same realm because of what he's done for us.
Amen.
We don't have to live down here. We can be transferred up to heavenly places. Brother, how do I get up there? Faith. Say what the Word said. He said, we are in heavenly places in Christ Jesus.
Amen.
And if you can take that, get your mind out of this ceiling and up into heavenly places, divine healing gets easy.
Amen.
Feeling good gets easy because you can see yourself over there. And you're going, this is mine. This is my inheritance.
Amen.
And what a little, you know, a little plot of dirt it is for some divine healing. If God can take this whole body of corruption and change it into immortality in the blink of an eye.
Glory!
What kind of power resides in us? And look, the rapture, as we've learned before, is not going to happen out here. It'll happen from the inside out.
Amen.
It said the glory would be revealed in us.
Amen.
Well, everybody's looking for Jesus to come out here somewhere. Out here somewhere. No, 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 no. You'll miss it.
Amen.
You'll miss it.
Yes.
Because you're looking for the coming without the appearing.
Uh-huh.
You'll never be there.
Right.
Why do you think the denominations will never see him?
Right.
Because they're looking for that. And when that comes, it's too late.
Yes, it is.
Because when he comes back and actually puts his foot on the ground, it's here to conquer.
Amen.
It's here with eyes of judgment.
Uh-huh.
Not the mercy that they're looking for. Mercy's now. Amen. And I tell you what, that door, it's getting so close, that vacuum, you know how it comes right at the end there? Why do you think there were some 11-hour workers? That vacuum of the door shutting of grace just sucked those 11-hour workers in there.
Glory.
And don't you get jealous because somebody gets the Holy Ghost. They only serve God for 3 weeks and get in their ass just like you struggled for 50 years. But I tell you what, when we get over there, it won't matter. We won't be whining like those old people were about their little token. Because why? You'll be in a new body.
Amen.
You won't be down here in this realm of foolishness. You'll be up in the heavenly places where there ain't no jealousy. You go, well, you only served God 3 weeks. He goes, what's 3 weeks again? I forgot. We're living eternity. I don't know what time is. Let's throw it off the side. Praise God. Don't know where I'm going. That's all right. I know He does, though. So we're groaning. They said, "This is one of the best proofs to me that you have the Holy Ghost. Is that you're not satisfied down here. There is a portion on the inside that says, praise God, I'm saved. He sealed me into the day of my redemption. But something on the outside, you go, this ain't right. This guy out here, this ain't the way it's supposed to be. There's something that's supposed to change. This ain't the way the world is. This is temple. Look, this ain't real. Do you understand this? This ain't real. This will be done away with. It won't be there. Science proves that there's more space than matter in this.
That's right.
Amen. Think of that. Excuse me. When we get over there to glory, I tell you what, Lord, take me to heavenly places. That's all I can say. Lord, take me to heavenly places. And we go, why does God come on the scene? Because He's groans. Let's go back to that groaning again. We watch the creation groan. We groan within ourselves to see the manifestation of the sons of God. But that wasn't it. Go to verse 26, Romans 8, 26. You can only realize how rigged this game is. How much the things are stacked up in your corner. We'd walk in perfect faith. Likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities. Aren't you glad that even though you have infirmities, even though you stumble and fall, it says the Spirit helpeth our infirmities. For just when you want to quit, just when you want to throw down, Brother Roy, and just, I'm done. I'm tired. Can't take this no more. Spirit comes on the inside and says, get up, boy. You're a soldier.
Yes.
You're fighting.
Yes, sir.
Likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities, for we know not what we should pray for as we ought. But the Spirit itself maketh intercessions for us with groanings which cannot be uttered.
Amen.
So what's the Spirit groaning for? The manifestation of itself at all times.
Amen.
We go to pray, and we don't quite know what to pray. The Spirit there is groaning, saying, I want this said. I want you to pray for brother so-and-so because I want to see a miracle happen because that's what God desires. And these people, like I said, the frozen, chosen message people, they don't believe God does nothing no more. And we just sit like this and we go, we're predestined and God don't move. God hates that.
Amen.
He wants to prove He's God more than we want Him to.
Amen.
Why can't He never seem to do nothing? Because God will only work by His word and you must believe it.
Amen.
If you've got an excuse, it will never happen.
Amen.
But if you can believe, if you can get in that realm of perfect faith, you'll watch the supernatural come down all the time.
Amen.
You'll realize He's always here, just like He said He would be.
Yes.
He said, I'll never leave you nor forsake you.
Amen, Lord Jesus.
Thank you, Heavenly Father. The creation's groaning. We're groaning. The Spirit is groaning. And that's when God comes on the scene. You look at the children of Israel. We know that they went to Egypt. They were under bondage. And they were really under bondage for years. They were slaves, but they got kind of comfortable. They got okay with it, kind of like Laodicea, ain't it? That's all right. We'll serve God. And, you know, yeah, I watch a little TV here and there. Or I do this and that and fool around with the things of the world. But it's all right. It's all right. You know, we'll make it. It's foolishness. You're living in Laodicea. And that's what the children of Israel did. They went, Egypt ain't all that bad. You know? We can make it. We can make it. And then what did God do? He says, No. My children ain't staying down in that slump. I'm going to bring something.
Uh-huh.
And He said He brought in a Pharaoh that didn't know didn't know Joseph.
Right.
He came in there and brought somebody with taskmasters to whip him in the back. And you wonder why the second you start getting away from God, things start going wrong.
Uh-huh.
You start getting headaches all the time. You start not being happy. You start going to this thing trying to get joy and this thing trying to get joy. And then just lashing after lashing after lashing. Not because He hates you, because He's driving you to what it takes to get joy.
Amen.
He's driving you what to eternal life was before we ever got here. And as they began to cry unto God, that's when God came on the scene. Because they started to get oppressed and they finally went, you know what? Egypt ain't that good. It ain't as good as we thought it was. And what do you think the churches are realizing in this day? They let the bars down and they thought it was a pretty good thing. Yeah, we used to live holiness, but we got kind of fed up with that, so we let it loosen up. And for a while, the devil lets it go because he likes to trick you into it. Uh-huh. That's how any poison works. There's always good first, and then here comes the poison and kills you. And that's what Satan did. He let them go for a while, you know, just kind of feeling good, bobbing off their hair. Okay, you go ahead and keep speaking in tongues, and, you know, it might even come to pass, but we're just going to keep. And before you know it, they ain't got no power, cold and formal as anybody else. Living out in the world, and then they watch as their children are getting pregnant at 13 years old, and all this foolishness that's going on. Mothers that are in the church, and they go and kill themselves because they ain't happy. And they're starting to realize now, this ain't what we wanted. And they're beginning to cry out, saying, God, send us the deliverer. And they've missed him. Because the deliverer wasn't even Brother Branham, it was the Word.
Amen.
And the Word has come back in its purity. In its fullness. You don't got to go find something else. You don't got to feed off any other commentary or any other preacher or any of that stuff. You feed on the Word that was brought to us. Don't add one thing to it. Don't take one thing out of it. Let God interpret His Word.
Amen.
How does He interpret His Word? He will bring it to pass. All these people are trying to get one step ahead of God. Oh, this is how the rapture is going to happen. You don't know. Because you know when you'll know? When you're in it.
Right.
Yes. How are you going to be able to figure out the blink? It's a twinkling of an eye. It's not even a blink. It's a twinkle.
Exactly.
You don't got enough time to think about it. So that should, again, should take all the stress out. You can't make yourself be ready for that instant without the Spirit of God.
Amen.
He's the one that's going to lead us to be ready for it. And we're the reason it's happening.
Amen.
Us, because look, the creation isn't waiting for the manifestation of the churches.
Right.
They've had that.
Right.
It ain't waiting for the manifestation of the denominations. It ain't waiting for the manifestation of the message churches either. I hope that's okay for you.
Yeah.
It's waiting for the manifestations of the sons of God.
Yeah.
And there's only so many.
Right.
And we know as that pyramid came up to the top, there's only a little bit left right before Christ can come down. Think of a capstone, which is a picture of the whole church, millions, and I don't even know, billions maybe, people. And the capstone's one person. How few will that get so that one person stone could come and finish it?
Right.
It looks almost done to the naked eye. The denominations go, oh, it's finished. We're good to go. No, get a little closer. There's a couple more left. We're still gleaning the fields. A couple people ain't got the Holy Ghost yet that need it.
Amen.
There's a couple people got the Holy Ghost, don't realize they got the Holy Ghost. They need to get free because the rapture's coming.
Amen.
You know when the date of the rapture is? Do you know what's waiting on? For every son to be ready.
Amen.
See, we tend to think it's, you know, again, the denominations, they've always got these ideas, and they just run them off this way and that way because it's Satan getting them off the Word. You go to, my wife's due here soon. She has a due date. The due date's just a guess, though. We got signs, and it probably is pretty close. And you got the denomination saying, well, we lined up this scripture with this one and this number here and added 12 and divided by pi and did all this stuff, and it's going to happen on, what was that, May 20th or those couple dates they've been having come out, and they fail every time. Yeah, they're close. We know it's coming. You believe it's coming?
Amen.
I do. But when is it going to happen? When is my son's birthday going to be? The day he is manifested.
Amen.
That's the day that's picked. It ain't because there was something special about the day. It's that something happened on that day.
Right.
So we look at what the day of the rapture is. He said it's a day you're not going to think. You think they would realize that? Look, I might as well quit thinking about days because it ain't going to be those ones. It's going to be something I'm not ready for. In the flesh anyway, something I just conjured up. It'll be something on the inside says, you know what? I'm tired of being down here. I'm ready for the manifestation of the sons of God because God will move on us when it's time. How many of you know who's the last one going to come in? Praise God, you're humble enough to realize you don't. But he does. And the second he comes in, he's going to just pour out. Brother Bram said it was another baptism of the Holy Ghost that came down. And that's what's going to break us up to him. One more jolt of the Spirit to make us ready. We're trying to go out there and grab it and do this and that. We're doing everything but what Jesus told us to do. He said, go out in all the world and preach the gospel. How about we do that?
Amen.
Like I just said, what's it waiting on? It ain't waiting on for me to read this one quote and I finally got it figured out. Now the rapture will happen. No, it's waiting for me to get out there and to find that Son of God that ain't free yet.
Amen.
I'm supposed to have the Holy Ghost. Do you have it?
Amen.
Then you're in. All right? You ain't going to miss it. And as long as you'll keep believing that, you'll get the benefits of it now. Amen. You'll get the earnest of what this inheritance is.
Sure.
When sickness comes to the door, you'll have something to push it back out.
Amen.
To live in that realm of peace. Because your body always desires that. Does anybody want sickness? No, we hate it. Does anybody want sin? Well, you think you do until you get the results of it. You go, this is terrible. This is killing me.
Uh-huh.
The inner man already knows that. And that's why he's groaning for the outer man to be abolished and Christ to take over.
Glory. Whew.
Praise God. It was an Exodus in the days of Moses. God said he heard their groans, their groaning, and that's what made him want to come down and fulfill his promise. And that's what God's wanting us to quit trying to be complacent down here. Quit trying to go through this motion. Think on heavenly things. Think of the next realm, and you'll walk here like you're supposed to.
Amen.
It'll just fall in line. Because what did Jesus say? Seek ye first the kingdom of heaven, his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you.
Amen.
But I don't know if I'll get to work on time if I pray today. No, seek the kingdom first, and God will take care of that. You say, well, could he teleport me there? He did it for Philip.
Sure did.
Are you any different? Uh-huh. You're not supposed to be. Can your faith reach that place where you just walk and say, Lord, I'm going to do what you say first. I'm not going to be ashamed of who I am. I'm a son of God. I know that. And I know there's other sons of God that are in bondage. And it ain't right. How did you get free? Somebody testified to you.
Amen.
And we think somebody else is just going to magically get it. Uh-huh. Why don't you do what Christ told us to do and watch him anoint it?
Amen.
I even just read about one of the kings. He talked about how Elisha had prophesied that this man would die in this place. And he says, go get him, take him there, and fill the word of the Lord. Think of that for a minute. Why did he just let it happen? Because he knew there was an unction come on him and say, it's time to fulfill this word.
Amen.
That's what we needed. That's what Job needed. He was waiting for the unction. And he couldn't get it. That's why he was having such a hard time. He goes, God, where's the unction? Where's the unction I felt so many times? How many times you walked that way? And go, God, I know what it's like for you to inspire me.
Amen.
And I just feel like I can't find it right now. Walk in faith. It's coming. He'll tell you exactly what to do. Do what you already know you're supposed to be doing. How about we do that?
Amen.
And let him add on the details.
Right. Amen. Amen.
Praise God. Coming out of Israel in the church, 53. You enjoying this tonight? Say amen.
Amen.
Thank you. That's the reason tonight, studying this exodus of the church, I believe that we're in the exodus again. And what's an exodus? Leaving.
Amen.
Getting out of somewhere. I believe Moses being a perfect type of the church organizations which failed God, and Joshua, the new leader, represented the church in their failings of God, and Joshua took Israel across to the promised land. Even amidst their failing, he was still able to bring them over to the promised land. And God will always answer our cries. I love this real quick. Let's turn there together just so we can read this. Judges 2. And we really think, we always want to go back to God cares about our works and our bad works and all that stuff. That's not what he wants. He wants you to just die and to just let him live.
Yeah.
Don't worry. Oh, I'm only this good now. No, you're never good. He's only this good. No, he's perfect. Just let him be perfect and you get out of the picture.
Amen.
Watch this. Judges 2:17. Actually, let's go 16. We'll go down. And we know how the time of the judges worked. Israel served God. They'd backslide. God sent them a judge. They'd serve God. They'd backslide. They'd get oppressed by the enemy. They'd get another judge. And it just happened and happened and happened. Verse 16, nevertheless, the Lord raised up judges, which delivered them out of the hand of those that spoiled them. And yet, they would not hearken unto their judges, but they went a-whoring after other gods, and bowed themselves unto them. They turned quickly out of the way, which their fathers walked in, obeying the commandments of the Lord, but they did not so. And when the Lord raised them up judges, then the Lord was with the judge and delivered them out of the hands of their enemy all the day of the judge. For it repented the Lord because of their groanings by reason of them that oppressed them and vexed them. Look at that. Look at the mercy of God. People go, God, you know, the Old Testament is all mean and the New Testament is all, you know, lovey-dovey. He's the same God yesterday,
Amen.
Today, and forever. He ain't never changed. Man's condition with him changed because of man's own stupidity. Man's the one that picked the law. God didn't want them to have it. He knew they couldn't do it. They wanted it themselves. And even under this law, look at that grace that was shown to them. Even when they're in bondage because of their own fault, and God knows it.
Right.
I've already sent you a judge. You've already been delivered from all your enemies. You're walking out here in peace, and then all of a sudden you go whoring after other gods. And even when they go back into bondage, His mercy, He'd hear their groanings and go, there's my children again. I know they didn't listen again. Oh, the 500,000th time. But they're still mine.
Amen.
See the security of being a son of God. How many of you with a sane mind would not love your children? And look at you. You think your love compares to His love? It's not even on the same wavelength whatsoever. And God watched them walk in this cycle of death over and over again. And He's watched the church do the same thing. He sends a deliverer. He sent John Wesley. He sent Martin Luther. He sent them all. Calvin, Knox, Finney. You want to name them? Go down the list. He sent Billy Graham. He sent Brother Branham. He sent all these people to deliver them out. And every time, they turn away from Him. But why does He keep doing it? Why does He keep doing the long-suffering of God?
Right.
Even on those that will go to hell. He still long suffers for them.
Sure.
He still gives them chances after chances after chances. Remember the whore in Revelations? It says God even gave her space to repent, knowing she wouldn't do it. Just to prove that He don't never change. He's always offered grace.
Amen.
So we need to always stay outside of that legalism, outside of that law. Why do you think Romans 7 is written before Romans 8?
Amen.
Because it explains that. Says, I see these two laws working. I see this law of death that works in me. But nevertheless, there is no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, because they that walk in the Spirit are free from the law.
Amen.
So this cycle, even if it happens in your life, you have to recognize, to get up in that Roman faith and go, God ain't looking at this. He ain't looking at this. He's looking on the representation in me, which is Himself. He doesn't see this foolishness. He doesn't see this roller coaster thing I go through. He sees perfection in me. And how do you know that, brother? I've been accepted in the Beloved.
Amen.
By one Spirit, we are all baptized into one body.
Amen.
Christ is one body, and He has many members, and I'm looking at about 15 of them. Thank the Lord Jesus.
Amen.
It's all grace. I thank God for that. I'm going to get ahead of myself a little bit here. In Romans 8, I can't let it go. Let's go back to Romans 8. I even thank God for blessing me. The other day we were going through the house cleaning out some things, and I found my grandpa had this old cassette thing that plays the New Testament. I'm like, well, that's pretty neat. And I was looking at that, and I was like, hey, I got a tape player in my car. I'm going to go ahead and do that. I was like, well, I've been studying Romans 8. Let's go listen to Romans 8. And I've listened to Romans 8 probably at least 6-7 times now. And every time I listen to it, I go, God, how did I not hear this before? And did you see the Spirit? He just works on your heart. And He starts showing you, this is what I meant. This is what I mean. And you're like, like Paul said, eye has not seen, ear has not heard. Who can comprehend the things of God? They're so glorious. We get a little taste of it. We realize we're just getting a dabble at the end of the end of the frosting thing. You know, one little, that's it. And there's a vast supply of this living water.
Amen.
Romans 8, and I'm just going to skip down to this, 29. For whom He did foreknow, He also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of His Son. So if you look at yourself and go, well, I don't think I'm where I'm supposed to be. You're predestinated to be conformed to the image of Christ.
Amen.
So if I'm predestinated, which means God's already determined this is the way it's going to be, and He's already said He's going to conform me, I should expect a process.
Uh-huh.
I expect to grow closer to the Lord all the time. I should expect to not be completely satisfied until I'm out of here, until I perfectly reflect the Son of God. Because that's the image I was predestinated to be conformed into. To the extent where it could say this, that He, Christ, might be the firstborn among many brethren.
Amen.
And brethren, look alike. And if He's the firstborn and I look like Him, I must look pretty good. Thank you, Jesus. Verse 30 is where the Lord started working on me. It said, moreover, whom He did predestinate, them He also called. If we can just stop there, has God called you? The Bible just said, you were called because you were predestinated.
Amen.
Wow. Yes.
We take it for granted. You know that, well, you know, I just stumbled upon this. I just happen to believe this. No, you don't. This message comes across thousands of people, and they make fun of it. They say it's wrong. They look for these stupid little contradictions that aren't contradictions. They just don't get in the spirit. And you don't do that for some reason. You don't even desire to do that.
Right.
You know it's right. You know that this word will live. Why? Because you're predestined, and God called you. And God did that, and oh, man. I'll tell you what, I felt good.
Yeah.
I felt good. And then he said, keep listening. That ain't all of it. Because whom he did predestinate it, them he also called. Them, excuse me, and whom he called, them he also justified.
Man.
He said, look, I ain't looking at you. You're already justified. I called you because I already justified you. How did God justify me 2,000 years ago when he died on the cross? And when did that happen? In God's mind. Before the foundation of the world. It was rigged the whole time.
That's right.
Hope you don't mind me using the word rigged there. But it just gets it across, don't it? How are you going to beat God at a game? You ever thought about that? It's like these chess players want to play them supercomputers that have played every single game of chess you could ever play. How are you going to win? It already knows it all. Mm-hmm. How much more the mind of God when it comes down to how am I going to be a son of God? Ask him. He knows everything.
Mm-hmm.
He knows how to do it. Moreover, whom he did predestinate, them he also called. Them he called, he also justified. And all when this came to me. Them he was justified, them he also glorified. So it's already
Amen.
It's already happened. And it makes it so easy. And I mean easy in the sense of accepting it.
Uh-huh.
When you go, well, did God call me? Yeah. Well, that according to the Bible says I'm predestinated. And if he called me, that means I'm already justified. By his grace, I have nothing to do with it. While I was yet a sinner, God died for the ungodly.
That's right.
And now that I'm justified, he says I'm already glorified.
Yes.
Like I said, when you walk into the presence of God knowing it's not your merit, things get easy, Brother King. You realize he loves me. He wants me to do well. I'm his son.
Amen.
Behold, now we are the sons of God.
Amen.
And it doth not yet appear where we shall be, but when he comes, when the resurrection really gets here, we shall be like him.
Yes. Amen.
I'm trying to wrap up here soon. We've talked about adoption, which Paul, again, he laid that out beforehand here. And there was a reason he did that. Because he said in the fullness of times in Galatians, he says, but when the fullness of time was come, God sent forth his son made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons. What was the whole point of Christ coming down and dying was for the sons of God to be adopted back where they were before they ever fell. That's why he did. And the fullness of time has already come. We're not waiting for something to happen later. It's already here. And if you can't see it, you're not in the spirit. You're looking with the eyes of flesh. You're going, well, look at this little church. I don't see God doing this and doing that like it says in the Bible. He does it all the time. Could you imagine if you were walking the apostles' time? We get such in hindsight. You don't understand that this wasn't some big show.
No.
These people were hunted down and still killed after they watched miracles.
Right.
They watched Jesus raise somebody from the dead for days.
Yeah.
And they still wanted to kill him.
Uh-huh.
Why do we expect something different? Uh-huh. When the manifestation of the sons of God takes on, ain't nobody going to know about it besides those that are part of it.
Yes, sir.
And I believe those foolish virgin will have maybe a little bit to go, whoa, something's changed. The Spirit of God ain't here like it used to be. But then they'll realize, just like when they came up to Noah knocking on the door, it's shut. We can't get in. What a day that will be. That ain't the day I'm looking for, though. Coming out of adoption. This is the third sermon Brother Branham preaches it four times, our four-part series, 1960. You believe in dispensations? Bible said so, in the dispensation of the fullness of time. What is the fullness of time? There's been a time of, there was a time of the Mosaic Law. There was a dispensation of John the Baptist. There was a dispensation of Christ. There's a dispensation of church organization. There's dispensation of the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. Now's the dispensation of adoption. We are here to walk in our adoption in this age. Don't settle for anything less. You are here to walk like Christ did when he was on earth. This is a dispensation of the adoption. What's the world waiting, groaning, and when the fullness of times come, when the dispensation of the fullness of time, what is that fullness of time? When the dead rises, when sickness ceases, when all the earth ceases to groan.
Amen.
The fullness of the dispensation of time. He says, watch this. When in the dispensation of the fullness of times, he might gather together all things in Christ. Aren't you glad?
Yes.
All things over there will be in Christ.
Amen.
There won't be no more double possessions. That'll be all done away with. How is he going to do it? How many of you want to be part of this? Say amen.
Amen.
We kind of want to know how this is going to be, right?
Yes.
How's he going to fulfill this dispensation of fullness of time, the fullness of adoption? How is he going to do it? Gather together all things in who?
Christ.
Christ. That's what it says here. Congregation says Christ. You're writing the same message. How do you get in Christ? Anybody know? By one Spirit. By one Spirit, we're all baptized into one body. And that body is whose body? Christ. Already judged. He took our judgment. Then what are we? When I see the blood, I'll pass over you. Every time he looks at the body that is sitting there, bloody, I'm in there. By how? The Holy Ghost.
Amen.
He passed over. Not he will pass over. He's already passed over. Brother Bram said, it's not that I will make it or that I have to make it. He says, I've already made it.
Amen.
I'm going to finish on this quote. Maybe some of you older saints will appreciate this. The Breach, 63. Oh my, oh my. Don't that make us all feel old folks feel good? It ought to make us all feel good.
Amen.
Amen. Waiting for this hour. We understand that this will take place at the first resurrection. I don't want nothing to do with that second resurrection. I want to be in the first resurrection.
Amen. You are.
I am the first resurrection, brother.
Yes, sir. Right there, brother.
And you are too. Don't let me
That's
kid
right.
you. It ain't just me. It's the whole body.
Yes.
See, nature is groaning. We are groaning. Everything is groaning because we realize there's something not right. And the only way you can groan and wait for it is because there's been new life come in here that speaks of a new world.
Amen.
Oh, we wonder why the thoughts of God don't make sense down here all the time. It's a different world. It's a different civilization. It's got different laws. It's got different formulas for things. There ain't no sin in none of those formulas. It's all righteousness, joy, and peace.
Amen.
Let's stand together. Groaning for manifestation. We bow our heads together. Every head bowed, every heart open to God. Say, Lord, I know that ain't nothing but the truth. I know there's a world coming where there ain't no sin, no sickness. And I thank you for saving me. Fill me with your Spirit so I can be part of that new kingdom. But if that desire is not in there, you feel a little comfortable down here saying, Lord, I need shaked. I need all this unbelief shaken out of my life. Just raise it up to the Lord. I believe he'll take it right now. And as we walk in perfect faith, Lord, help us to never come under that. But to always keep our minds on what the groaning of the Spirit is saying to us. That there's a land just over the river where you won't have to deal with these things no more. But Lord, while there's time down here, as we pray together, we pray that you help us to be diligent. Help us to be 11th hour workers, knowing that the time might end at any time. But Lord, somebody might still need delivered. Somebody might still need the Holy Ghost. Lord, and you've already given us the earnest of this adoption. You've already given us the earnest of this next world that we're going to live in. And we thank you so much for that. Lord, I pray for the people tonight, the people of God that should be sons of God set free, that might be captive of the devil. If there's any sickness in this place, I pray in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ that everyone be healed. May anything that would hinder their faith be dispersed out of this place right now. Father, help us, Lord, to walk closer to you than we ever have before. Help us to trust your Spirit, even when it tells us groanings that we don't really understand. Help us to walk in faith, knowing it's your voice, trying to lead us into all truth. Lord, we love you. We appreciate you. We thank you for that groaning on the inside. And I pray if there's anybody here that doesn't have it, Lord, may they be able to reach up in faith to you and be changed this night. Changed to start seeking the things of God, thinking of the world to come, and thirsting for this world no more. Help us, Lord, to know that that's the reason we're not satisfied down here. We ain't built for this world. We're built for the world to come. Help us to walk in that realm of perfect faith. We love you. We appreciate you, Lord. I'm just so glad to feel your spirit here even now.
Yes, Lord.
Giving us, Lord, just that earnest. Just these little blessings, Lord. That they may be the shadow of a shadow of a shadow. But Lord, it's still so much better than anything this awful world has to offer us. And we thank you so much for giving it to us freely. Lord, we love you. We appreciate you. We yield ourselves to you, Lord. Help us to be better Christians. Help us, Lord, to step aside and to not step in your way, but to walk just hand in hand with our Savior. We love you, Lord. You said you'd be with us, even in us, to the end of the world. And I believe this is a group of people that believe that tonight. Help us to walk in it, we pray. You said in the Scriptures, if we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. And I pray there'll be many testimonies come back from this saying, Brother Andrew, I thank the Lord Jesus. What you preached that night, I know it wasn't you. It was the Word of the Lord. It spoke right to my heart. And I was able to walk out a Son of God and start taking down Satan's kingdom in my life.
Amen. Hallelujah, Jesus.
Amen. Grant it, Lord. May it be so in every
Lord,
life.
In thy name, Father, praise you.
We love you, Lord. Praise we appreciate you. We thank you, Lord, for giving us all things so freely. As we get ready to worship you, Lord, we ask these things to be so. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, we pray.
Hallelujah.
Amen. Amen. Oh, praise His name. If you have any needs, you want to come forward for prayer, that's fine. I'll pray with you. But I believe that there's a Holy Spirit here.
Yes.
All you got to do is take that hand and raise it up to faith. You said, Brother Andrew, what's the hand raising up? You're defying everything the world says you should do. The world says you should lay down. You should be defeated. When you raise that hand in faith, you're saying, devil, I ain't listening to you no more. I'm listening to my Savior. He said, I could have this joy I want. He said, I could have this peace. And I'm reaching up in faith and I'm grabbing it. And you can't do a thing about it. I want to sing that song. What a day that will be.
Mm.
Thank you, Jesus. The 61, if you don't know it. Let's just give the Lord some worship tonight. Just put yourself over there, as I said, in heavenly places. In that world to come. 61, now I believe it's F. Or whatever you want to sing.
There is coming a day when no heartache shall come, no more clouds in the sky, no more tears to dim the eye. All is peace forevermore.
Oh, Jesus, thank you for the desire of our heart.
Oh, what a day that will be when my Jesus,
oh, yes, Father,
shall see. When I look upon His face, the one who saved me by His grace, when He takes me by
thinking about that. It says, when my Jesus I shall see, when I look upon His face, the one who saved me by His grace. Do you understand? Everybody will see Christ.
Yes.
But we get to see Him as the one that saved us by His grace. We don't have to wait for the judgment. We've already passed from death unto life. When we see Him, He'll have His arms spread open. Oh, just visualize it now. There for one purpose, and that's to grab us and to bring us into His bosom. And to really show us how much He loves us. Oh, can we put ourselves there? That one who saved us. takes you by his hand and leads you to the promised land. Thank you, Father. Sing that in faith now. Believe it now.
Oh, there'll be no sorrow there, no more burdens to bear, no more sickness, no pain, no more parting over there, and forever I will be with the one who died for me. What a saint, glorious saint, that will be.
What
a day that will be.
The Spirit wants you, everyone have one desire for you. He wants to see
us.
He's expressing that through your heart.
When I look upon his face, the one who saved
Such a liar, you're so bad. We just erase any doubt from our mind. Help us.